fell over on his face and they had to go prop him up. I mean, can you imagine serving and worshiping a God that you had to go prop him up? And then the next day you come back in to see him again and there he is falling over on his face again. And oh, let's pick him up again. Folks, I tell you what, we serve a God, amen, that specializes in working in our lives. Amen. And I am thankful that I know Him today. Praise God. You may be seated if you'd like. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. You know, there's really basically, amen, only two kinds of religions in the world. Right and wrong is right. Amen. But basically, it's the kind where either you're doing something for your God, or one in which your God has done something for you. I know we do things in honor and because we love the Lord, but that's not the basis of our relationship with Him. The basis of our relationship with Him is that He was willing to hang on an old rugged cross and die for our sins. Amen. And I'm glad for that opportunity that God's called us to. Amen. And given us the opportunity that just as I am. Hallelujah. My, I tell you what, God's been good. And hallelujah. I tell you, I enjoyed yesterday. It was a good day. Amen. Appreciated the presence of the Lord. And I've heard testimonies of some that God has blessed your life just yesterday. And I thank God for that. And we give God praise and give Him glory tonight. Praise the Lord. In the book of Genesis tonight, we'd like to look for a little while. Amen. And I appreciate the burden that Pastor Kincaid has to strengthen and fortify the homes here. And we just appreciate this opportunity to share in that vision with you. And we're trusting the Lord to speak to us in a special way in this service tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. As I look across this congregation, I see young people, I see, preteens. I see some that are in their teens and they're happy about that. Amen. There's something about that age group, you know. It's just special, you know. Amen. See married couples and see ones with little bitty children. Aren't these some beautiful little ones? I'll tell you what. Maybe the guys aren't so beautiful, but handsome. Amen. But it's just a blessing to be with you and appreciate all of you, the grandmas and grandpas and whatever your age might be. Amen. But my concern, amen, in this service as we gather together, amen, is a concern that though we're all here at one place tonight, we are all united, but there is the possibility that going out from this place, there can be a divergence of direction. What I mean by that is I'm concerned about where we go from here. Not just in what direction your home is away from this place, but everyone is in transition. Every one of us are moving. I know sometimes we have, we talk about, you know, being stable, and that's important in one sense of the word. But what I'm saying tonight, amen, is that I'm concerned about what direction you're headed spiritually as a family. What direction are you going? You know, it's possible for people to be at the same place but be going entirely opposite directions. For the time being, we're right here. We're all together in one place. We're in one mind and one accord. All of you are sitting there looking at me and making me feel real nervous, you know. And we're all here. But what are we going to do from this point forward? Are we going to go in a good direction? Or are we sort of undecided? And therefore, very likely, going to be influenced in the wrong direction. I'm going to look tonight, amen, and I want to encourage your hearts, amen, to choose, amen, the good way. Praise the Lord. Genesis chapter number 18. Genesis chapter number 18, and I want to say that I truly believe that every one of you that are here tonight on this Monday night, it is a testimony of the fact that you have a desire in your heart, amen, that as in the words of Joshua of old, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Praise God. Amen. I believe that's why you're here on this Monday night. I don't entertain a suspicion that there's those here tonight that deliberately are planning to go a different direction. But that's my goal and my ambition in this service tonight. Amen. That those that may have not made as full and deep a commitment to make whatever changes are needful in our lives and adjustments to make sure that we wind up in the right direction. Amen. That we'll settle that tonight. Praise God. Genesis chapter number 18, and we'll begin reading at verse number 16. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. Praise God. The Lord said, I know Abraham. I know the way he's going to train his family. I know how his family is going to respond. Amen. Because and then he says the result of that is that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. Amen. God wants what's best for you. Amen. But in this scripture, amen, and we're going to pray in just a moment. Amen. You'll notice, amen, that this is in reference to a nephew of his, Lot. What a striking contrast. The values of Abraham and the values of Lot. And so tonight I want to preach about the difference between commitment and compromise as it relates to our families. Father, we love you and we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity of being here. I thank you, Lord, for everyone. I thank you for Brother and Sister Kincaid and their family. I thank you, Lord, for the life that they have, Lord, and their leadership, Lord, in this place. We thank you, Lord, for the vision and burden that you've given to them and the Armstrongs, Lord, and every one of the workers and members of the church and those that are here visiting tonight. We ask your blessings upon each and every one. I praise you, Lord, for the way that you brought us together tonight. And Lord, only you know how to penetrate our hearts and touch us by your Holy Spirit. I pray that our hearts should be as good soil in an honest and a good heart, Lord, that would be willing to root out, Lord, the thorns that would threaten to choke out the good seed of the Word of God. Lord, that we would desire to dig and plow deeply, Lord, that we would not just have a shallow hearing of the Word tonight, but Lord, that there would be a breaking up of our hearts and a readiness in our spirit to say, Lord, whatever I need to do, Lord, to make sure by your grace and power, Lord, that my family becomes all that you intend for it to be, we'll give you glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you tonight. Have you ever stopped to consider, what does God want for my family? Have you seriously considered it in such a way that I am more concerned about what God wants for my family than I am for what I personally want for my family? Most people most people in the world at large today interpret what their goals for their family is, if I can just get them raised and get them out of the house. I mean, that's the mentality of a lot of parents. If I can just keep bread on the table and shoes on their feet and get them raised to the time I can send them out on their way and I'll... And I can go to living my life the way I want to from there on. How many of you ever heard people act like that? And that's the extent of their vision for their family. Is just get them to a certain age where they feel released of the responsibility for them and to feel like it's over with. They can do their own thing, and I'm not going to worry about them anymore. I want to tell you, friend, tonight, amen, I believe that there does come a time when it's God's will that children begin lives of their own. I understand that, amen, but I believe that it's essential that you and I as parents, amen, as leaders in our family, amen, would have a vision that goes beyond that. That we would have a vision that says, I want my family to be all that God wants it to be, and that will affect not just not just until they're 18 or whatever. We find it before us tonight. I want you to consider with me, and I'm going to be drawing from several chapters here in these early parts of Genesis. Amen. As we distinguish between, amen, the attitude of Abraham, who was obviously, amen, a very committed man. But we see in glaring contrast one of his own contemporaries. Someone who is alive at the same time he was. Someone who is following right along in close proximity to him as far as geographically. He's right there, came out of Ur of the Chaldees with him. Amen. As he, and we notice a glaring contrast in the attitudes and the spiritual values of these two men. You know, as I consider them, and I notice concerning Abraham primarily, amen, the thing that so captivates my attention about Abraham was the reality of the fact that Abraham had a personal encounter with God. I mean, repeatedly, amen, Genesis 12 and 1, verse 7, chapter 13, 14. Verses 14 through 17. Chapter 14, verse 18. Again in chapter 15. Amen. Again in chapter 17. Again in chapter 18. Amen. On and on. Again in chapter 19. Amen. God revealed himself, and Abraham was conversing and talking with God, and God was talking with him, and there was such a close encounter with the Lord. Amen. Oh, I tell you what, the covenant was given to Abraham. God spoke to him. God talked to him. God changed his name from Abram to Abraham. God gave him the token of circumcision of the covenant. Sarah was promised to be the mother of the promised child. Amen. God talked to him over and over again. But all through the Word of God, as I've looked for it, amen, the only thing I see about Lot is just that he was tagging along with Abraham. And the words of the Scripture are, he went with him. Never says anything about him having an encounter with God. Him having an experience with God. I want to tell you, friend, this evening, amen, you may have come to church for a long, long time. I don't know everybody that's here in a real close way. You may have been around church. Amen. You may know the songs. You may know the different things that we do in church and so forth. But I want to tell you, if you want your home to be what God wants it to be, it's got to be built on a foundation of a personal encounter and experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Just the fact that you come to church, amen, and you're with the people of God does not automatically guarantee, amen, that you are going to be the influence that you need to be in your family. Amen. Friend, I see this in Abraham's life. Abraham is a man, amen, who has walked with God and has talked with God, and God has talked with him. May I say that if there happens to be somebody in this congregation tonight, whether you be young or whether you be old, whether you be a mother or a father or a grandparent. Amen. I don't know all of you. Amen. I'd like to get to know all of you better. Amen. But there's one thing I am concerned about, is that you guarantee and that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have fallen on your face before God and confessed your sins and trusted Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, had a personal encounter with the Lord. Hallelujah. And the thing that I see in Abraham's life that indicates the reality of that fact was the fact that Abraham was noted repeatedly as a man who built altars. I mean, you just can't read through these. Amen. Chapter 12 and verse 7. Amen. He built an altar at Sichem, the plain of Moreh. Chapter 12 and verse 8. On the mountain between Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. Amen. Chapter 13. Amen. Here he comes after he had gone down to Egypt and lied about his wife. Amen. Here he comes back. Amen. And he builds another altar. Amen. Chapter 13 and verse 18. In the plain of Mamre in Hebron. Amen. He builds another altar. Chapter 14, verse 22, he said, I've lifted up my hand unto the Lord. Amen. He had been praying. Chapter 15, verses 8 through 11, amen, as he was built an altar and offered the sacrifice, driving the fowls away from the sacrifices, the carcasses of the ones that he had laid out there. Amen. Abraham was a man who was a praying man. Abraham was a man, amen, who was building an altar, who was crying out to God. It's significant to note that as I look through here, chapter 16, there's not an altar referenced. And that's where Abraham made one of his blunders and mistakes in his relationship with Hagar. There's no altar there. But when you look at the life of Lot, there's nothing mentioned about an altar. No mention made about Lot ever praying. The only time I read the word pray connected with Lot was when he was begging the angel to let him, instead of being going, when he sent him out of Sodom, he said, I pray thee, let me go to this little city instead of out to the mountain. I mean, that's the only time Lot was praying. I want to tell you daddies, amen, and you mamas too, amen, but I'll tell you what, one of the most important distinguishing factors of your life that will make a difference in the destination that you're headed for is if you are a person of prayer, if you are a person. Amen. I know there's some situations where there may not be a daddy in the home, but I want to tell every one of you men today, I feel a special compulsion, amen, to challenge every man, every father, every husband, to be a man of prayer, to be a man that builds an altar. Amen. It should not take an FBI agent to find you and catch you praying. Some people are so secretive and so it'd take a detective or somebody to catch them praying. Tell you what, that's nothing to be ashamed of. I know the Bible says we shouldn't pray just to be seen of men, but I want to tell you what, if your family doesn't see you praying, amen, it's no wonder they don't realize the value and have an understanding of the fact that we need God. I can't tell you the number of times, amen, that in our home, amen, I've faced situations, decisions, challenges, whatever, amen, and my children will tell you, amen, a lot of times, it doesn't matter if it's in the middle of the floor or by a couch or a chair or a bed or wherever. Amen. I feel my need of saying, God, we've got to have your help. We need your wisdom. I want to do it right. Help me, Lord. Amen. I tell you what. Amen. I'm wondering what the condition is of our family altars. I'm wondering what's the condition of your family altar. Is it a place that's been neglected? Is it a place that's been broken down like it was in Elijah's day? Amen. I'll tell you. Amen. It is essential that we rebuild the altar, that we build an altar of prayer, that there be a renewal, amen, like never before. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Furthermore, there were times when as you'll remember the story, and I'm not going to take time to read all the verses in relation to this, but just telling you part of the stories, how that Abraham's herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen were in conflict because their herds had grown to an extent that there was contention about arguing over the water and the feed for them, and so he said, we need to split up here, you know, we've got too many right here in one location, and so Abraham told Lot, he said, Lot, you just take whatever choice you want, and I'll take what's left over. What an attitude. It was not just a weak personality on Abraham's part. The Bible told us Abraham was walking by faith. Hallelujah. He knew he could trust God. That no matter what his circumstance in life was, as long as his faith was in God, God would take care of him. But Lot looked up, looked around, no mention made of praying about it, but he looked around and he said, oh yeah, the grass is greener over that way. The plains of the east, the Bible said. And he made his choice based, and his decisions based on the flesh. I want to tell you what. My question to you tonight is, how do you run your home? Do you base your decisions on faith or on flesh? Do you base your decisions on job, on location, on whatever? Do you base it on faith or just on what seems to be the best? Friend, I tell you what, it is essential that we be homes and families that base our decisions not just on what appears to be the best solution. We need to be humbly seeking God's face and acting in faith, that we're convinced that this is what God wants us to do. After prayer and seeking His face and maybe seeking counsel from others or whatever, instead of just the fleshly enticements. The well-watered plains, I mean, this is, He could very easily have said, oh, gotta make a decision. Man, this is a no-brainer. I don't even have to think about this. Obviously, the grass is greener over that way. Not considering what else was over that way. Wasn't just grass over there. It wasn't just grass over there. There was wickedness that direction. For the Bible says, amen, concerning this, that so he dwelled in the cities of the plain. He pitched his tent toward Sodom. And the Bible says in the very next verse after that, in chapter 13 in verse 12, where he pitched his tent toward Sodom, that the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Listen, anytime we make decisions that lead us closer to a wicked lifestyle, based upon the financial and the material gain we'll get, is a decision of compromise that will cost us. I'm saying tonight that when people make decisions based on merely financial and material things without any regard for the, I'm telling you, and I don't mean to jump into too deep water here, but I feel compelled to warn people that there's a lot of people who decide to change locations and move away from a town into a different town where there's absolutely no spiritual benefit. There's no spiritual... I mean, it's different if God's called you to go there to raise up a work. You know, I understand that. Do you understand what I'm saying? But there's a lot of people, amen, who only consider a move, amen, because... lost a job, and I know this has been a place hard hit. You know, I haven't talked to Brother Kincaid a whole lot about it, but I understand, you know, that this has been an area. But I'm saying, amen, we've got to consider more than just where the money is. Amen, we've got to consider what's going to be best for my family spiritually. Is it going to have a detrimental, hurtful, harmful effect on them? Or is it going to be something for their benefit and something to help further them in the things of God? I'll tell you, I've known people that have done it both ways. Made sacrifices, real sacrifices, because they were primarily concerned about spiritual things. And God honored them for it. There's been others that have done things just for the material and the financial. Amen. That has cost them so much. But I tell you what, when you think about this, amen. Here he was conditioning. Lot was conditioning his family for wickedness. He was getting them used to it. Amen. He was exposing them to it. But I can't understand why a man, amen, that had the involvement and the association with Abraham that Lot had. But yet here he is. Amen. He did not get there overnight. He didn't just make a big, you know, long trek and say, man, we're gonna get there tomorrow and whatever it takes, we'll ride, we'll walk, we'll go all night long until we're right smack dab in the middle of Sodom. Amen. Probably he never intended to wind up there. But he pitched his tent that direction. Every morning when he threw the flap back on his tent, looking toward Sodom. They decided to move for the day. Which way are we going, huh? I know they didn't have the bright lights. You know, I understand that. But there was something, no doubt, they'd heard the stories of the people that had come through there. Man, there's lots of excitement. I don't know whether it was his kids that said, man, Dad, I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us, but it does say, amen, that here was a man who was held responsible for his family and he was conditioning them and where they would tolerate wickedness. Let me tell you, friend, tonight, amen, you can blame me if you don't like the preaching, okay? Don't blame the pastor. But I'm telling you, I felt in prayer today, amen, there's a lot of families allow things to come before the eyes of their family that are stirring up wrong desires, wrong interests, wrong values. I mean, children that are exposed, amen, to Hollywood's values. It's not going to lead them to a godly lifestyle. I mean, and more tolerant of the perversions that Sodom was judged horribly because of. Amen. Or from what I understand, I've not seen it. I don't look at it. Amen. But what I've heard, amen, people telling me of what the daily fare of stuff that is presented on television and stuff. And it's not, I know it's not just television, but in the, whether it's the magazines and every, the media, the news, the whatever. Amen. It's accepted. This is just the way things are. Just need to get used to it. Don't be so old fogey and old fashioned. I want to tell you what. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord unashamedly. I don't want to develop an attitude and create an environment. Amen. I'm not saying we don't love the people that are involved in even the worst of lifestyles. We ought to care for them and desire to save them. But it doesn't mean we become a participant and enjoy and become entertained by that. Hallelujah. But while Lot was conditioning his family for wickedness, lowering their standards and their value systems to the gutter that we'll find out in just a little while. You know what Abraham was doing with his family? With his household? He didn't have children of his own at this point. But he was conditioning them for warfare. Bible says when those kings came and captured the people of Sodom before God's judgment fell on Sodom, there were kings came and captured them. They fell in the slime pits, you'll remember. But Abraham got together 318 men. Amen. They were trained in his own house. In chapter 14, verse 14, he got them together. He had trained them for warfare. Amen. And when they heard word and heard news, amen, that Lot has been captured and his family and all the people of Sodom. Amen. Abraham said, "All right, boys. Amen. We've been preparing for warfare. It's time for us to go." And off they went. They were prepared to fight the battles of life. I want to tell you, fathers and mothers, amen, our children are getting ready to face some of the greatest challenges they'll ever face. Face in life, and it is imperative that we be preparing them for spiritual warfare, that we prepare them to be empowered and enabled to use the armor of God, to have faith in their heart, to be prepared to overcome the wicked one. Hallelujah. That's why every day's priority ought to be, amen, I want to prepare and condition my child, my family, amen, for the battles of life they're going to face. By hiding God's Word in our heart, amen, by meditating upon the Scriptures, by prayer, amen, by when we observe wrong behavior, not just let it keep on going and keep on going. Amen, we're conditioning, amen, our children for spiritual warfare. Friend, let me tell you, fathers and mothers, renew that commitment in your heart. Amen, as for me and my house, it's not just we're going to coast along through a day, amen, without any concern. Amen, I've got to be conditioning. I've got to be preparing my children. They're going to face some enemies that are bigger than we ever imagined, and they've got to be ready for it. Hallelujah. I've got to hurry on. Something else I notice in the life of Lot. In chapter 19, that dark, dark chapter. Oh, what a dark chapter. When the angels came and visited Lot. The Bible says concerning them that Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And that indicates the fact that he was recognized as a leader. When he sat in the gate, that's where the elders and the leaders of the city would sit, and they would pass judgment, and people would bring cases to them to decide and give counsel about it. And here he is. It appears that Lot is sitting in that gate, and he notices the angels coming in, and so he invites them to come into his house, which they did. They ate, but the Bible says before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter, and they called unto Lot and said unto him, "Where are the men which came into thee this night?" Oh, the evil design that they had, the wickedness, I wanted the perversion. Let me tell you tonight, amen, God is still sickened, amen, by the perversions, amen, that our society is condoning. Amen. God have mercy on America. God have mercy upon us, Lord, that we have rejected the value system that God has. Amen. But what I notice in this, amen, is not just the perversion of the people around them, but I see Lot's response to this. Number one, he called them brethren. Do not so wickedly, brethren. I mean, he felt a kinship to them. And then the unthinkable. He would offer his own daughters to satisfy their perverted lust. I'm telling you, sickening as it was. He was willing to sacrifice what his own daughters thought of him for what these strangers thought of him at the door. Amen. What a message this sent to his daughters. Amen. He was not concerned about protecting the purity of his own daughters. I will tell you what, if God has put a family inside your house, fathers and mothers, stand at the door. Lay your own life down. Amen. Instead of just throwing your children out. Amen. Exposing them to what will surely defile and destroy them. I mean, how could a father stand there and look at the perverted mentality of those men and say, listen, amen, instead of me standing up against you, I'll just try to satisfy you. I want to tell you, God give us men. God give us daddies. God give us mamas. Hallelujah. That value and treasure the family God's given us. Amen. I'm telling you, There's a lot of parents, whether we're naive or what it is, it causes us to think that exposing of our children to predators is not a very big deal. I'll tell you what, whether it's through social networking or whatever, when you're throwing them out in front of people that you don't know who they're throwing themselves out in front of, you better think twice before you keep on doing that. Amen. Not be surprised. Amen. When the wrong kind of folks, amen, become interested. God help us as daddies to stand at the door. God, by your grace and by your power, help us to be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. Help us, Lord, to know how to keep the door slammed in the face. Amen. Abraham. Amen. What about it, Abraham? Amen. Here's Abraham rising early before the Lord, seeking the Lord. Lot is lingering. Amen. The angel, amen, in compassion and mercy, trying to get a hold of his hand. Amen. Abraham was serious about the warning, and he interceded, amen, for Lot. But Lot appeared to his family as just mocking, as somebody just making up a big story. Amen. Oh, my friend today. Oh, God, help us. Something else I see about Abraham that was so different than Lot, I believe is very essential in these days we're living in. Abraham had a vision of preparing for a good companion for his son Isaac. Abraham was concerned about that. He said, I don't want you to get a girl from the daughters of these people that I'm having to live around. Servant Eliezer, you go back down to my home country and get a girl down there that's got a value system that's not contaminated with the values of this environment that I'm in. But Lot had no such vision. Lot never instilled faith in the hearts of his daughters that God was able to provide. Whether she even knew, those girls even knew about Abraham. I mean, they thought the whole world had gone up in smoke. They didn't know there was a godly uncle Abraham out there in the wilderness somewhere. Certainly there's family out there that they could go to, amen, and find companions. But Lot had failed to build faith in their heart, and they thought, we've got to sacrifice our values, amen, just to be able to have somebody. I want to tell you what, there's been a lot of church kids that have been raised up on church pews, amen, that have heard all the Sunday school stories, they've heard the songs, amen, and everything else, but because they lack the value system, because they've not been instructed to the fact that you can trust God to provide a companion for you, a godly companion for you, then they thought they had to stoop, and they had to lower their morals, and they had to indulge in things that they really knew in their heart they shouldn't have got involved in. Because, amen, where was daddy? Where was mama? Saying, children, we're going to trust God. And God's going to give you a godly companion. God's going to work it out. You can trust the Lord. Amen. You don't have to lower, amen, yourself. Amen. My concern is that the direction we're headed is a direction of commitment and not a direction of compromise. Just assimilation with the world around us. That we become just like everybody else. God help us as the people of God, as the people of First Assembly in Goshen, Indiana, as the people of the other, wherever you're from, visiting from. Amen. That as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. We're going to do it God's way. And we want victory in our home for the glory of God. Would you stand with me tonight? Praise God. Praise God. What is your home? Is it a place of devotion and discipline? Or is it a place of depravity and disaster? Say, God, by Your grace and by Your help, Lord, I want to make whatever sacrifices and commitment is needed. Lord, that as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. There's some of you here tonight and you have your children right around you. Some of them may seem ever so small and think like, well, it's not that essential. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. That you start building into their lives right now truths of God's Word. Hallelujah. Building into their lives the values of daily prayer, the reading of the Word of God, the hiding it in our hearts. Don't think you can wait until they're 15 and 16 and then get serious about the things of God and expect that there's going to be an immediate readiness in the hearts of those that have been cultivated an appetite for the world and the things of the world. God's merciful, thank God He is. But I'm saying don't neglect it any further. The purpose in our heart, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I felt like tonight asking us to come by families and stand across the front here tonight. Amen. Husbands, wives, children, come together as a unit. Amen. And I know if some family members are not here, but come as close as you can. Amen. By family units and say, Lord, by Your grace, husbands, fathers, amen, come and stand together, amen, with your families and say, God, Lord, take this whole world, but give me Jesus.